We'd open our Bibles this morning to 2 Peter, and we'll begin reading at chapter 1 and verse 10. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fail. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my demise to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and parousia of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mountain. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you would take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, unto the day that dawns and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but the holy men of God, they spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Father, we just read a portion of your word that said that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, because it did not come by man, nor by the will of man, but it came about as your Holy Spirit moved upon the hearts of men who were sanctified and filled with your Spirit. And we know, Father, that you interpret your own word by bringing it to pass. And yet we also see men who have come to stand, they've come to a standstill in this message because they think this just means that we're not supposed to be able to understand the prophecy of Scripture, nor to be able to explain it without saying word for word what your prophet said. But Father, I don't understand this sort of mindset that says one thing and does another. For their own actions show that they do not believe what you have taught us to be right in your word. You said in your own word that the Lord himself shall descend with a shout, which your prophet told us is the message. And in your own word you said that a great parousia presence, that you would come down to manifest yourself to mankind, and you have done exactly that. And Father, we've seen your great presence among us, and we know that there was an appearing before the coming, because we see it by the Scripture, Father, and we had it declared to us by a prophet. And in your own word you told us that if we have not the doctrine of Christ, we have not God. And yet you also told us that if we have the doctrine of Christ, we have both the Father and the Son. And having shown us your word, Father, and in your word, and you've manifested your word to us and interpreted your own word by bringing it to pass, and yet they will not believe. So help us, Father, to hold your word and to wait on your interpretation of it by your bringing it to pass. And when you do bring your word to pass, Father, may our eyes be eyes that can see. For we ask this in Jesus Christ's name, your beloved Son. For you said, blessed are the eyes that see and your ears that do hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now let me just make something perfectly clear. Before we go any further in the study, I just want to reflect on what Peter says here about these words, that no man has a right to his own private interpretation of the Word of God. It doesn't mean that only a prophet can understand and teach what God's Word declares. When Brother Vail met Brother Branham for the first time, where they had opportunity to sit and discuss the doctrine, Brother Branham went away from that meeting, and he said after that meeting, he said that there was only one thing that he disagreed with Brother Vail on, and that was the tribulation period and whether or not the bride would go through that. Well, then Brother Vail, he was told that his understanding was wrong concerning that by Brother Branham, and he went and he studied it, and he found out that the word tribulation comes from the root word retribution. And the tribulation, therefore, was a retributive act of God upon all those who turned down the Word of God. So after making that correction, he and the prophet were synced on the doctrine. All of it. So where did Brother Vail get his understanding of predestination, serpent seat, foreknowledge of God, election, grace, justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost? If Brother Branham said there was only one thing that they saw different when they met, he got it from the Word of God. You see, God made us as beings that can read and understand what we read. And when Peter said that the Bible is of no private interpretation, it doesn't mean you can't have an interpretation of it. As long as you say what God says, that's the interpretation. What he's saying is that, look, if God gave it, God will interpret it. It doesn't mean you're not going to know what that interpretation is. That's why so many people in the message today, they feel like the seals are still sealed. And yet I sent a brother over a dozen quotes of 24 that I came up with right away, where Brother Branham said all the seven seals have been revealed. He didn't say the six seals have been revealed. He said the seven seals have been revealed. Seven is not six. Seven is not five, four. Seven is seven. You see? So what Peter is saying here, and what we hear Brother Branham say, is not that only one person is allowed to teach the word for fear that he may be given a wrong interpretation of the word. But rather, God interprets his own word by bringing it to pass. And as long as you don't try to come up with your own thoughts about it and show the written word along with the manifested word, if you bring the two together, you can't go wrong. That is what Peter was saying, because he said, we have a more sure word of prophecy after telling them that what they saw and what they handled and what they heard was a fulfillment of the scripture. It was fulfilled before their very eyes. John tells us the same thing in 1 John chapter 1. He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard. So it was not his imagination. They actually heard it. Which we have seen with our eyes. So it was not just their idea about what it was supposed to be, but they actually saw it with their own eyes. Which we have looked upon. In other words, they visited with it. And they beheld it with their very own eyes. And not even that, but he says, and our hands have handled of the word of life. So they not only heard him, they not only saw him, but they handled him. And so it was of no private interpretation. God made his word visible, manifested in the body of his son. You see? Because God was manifested in the flesh of his son. For God is life. And he says, for the life was manifested, we've seen it. And what we've seen, we also bear witness of it. And we show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. So if you take that, look, you may not have seen Jesus Christ yourself manifested in that flesh because you didn't live back then. But we have the witness of these brethren. And if you can't speak what that witness is without someone saying, well, that's your own interpretation. No, it's not my own interpretation. That's what the Bible says. If he says it in the Bible, that's what it is. You see? For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and we bear witness, and we show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. And how does God interpret his own word? By bringing it to pass. And so if it is of no private interpretation, because the word with skin on it is a living, breathing word. The Alpha declares the Omega. That which we have seen, he said, and heard, we declare unto you that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. So that doesn't mean that you cannot understand the word. Nor does it mean that there are not men who can explain what the word is saying. You see, there's a certain mindset in the message that says that there is only one person who understands the word of God, and that is his prophet. And that is just ludicrous to think so. And if that be so, then how are you supposed to believe? What are you supposed to believe? Then all you have is a bunch of dumb, driven cattle. Now I have 20 pages of quotes from Brother Branham himself that I can show you where Brother Branham said the evidence that you have the new birth is that you will understand the Word of God. Now let me read a few for you. From the sermon, Key to the Door, Brother Branham said, no man can understand the word of outside the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And when a man says that he's got the baptism of the Holy Ghost and disputes the word being right, there's something wrong. And again from his sermon, identified masterpiece of God, Brother Branham said, how can a man have the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit who wrote the Word, and a man have the baptism of the Holy Spirit and then deny the Word? How can the Holy Spirit in you deny its own Word that was set forth for you? I can't understand it. It's got to agree with the Word. And if your spirit in you won't punctuate every one of God's promises with an amen, there's something wrong. And again from his sermon, Discerning the Body of the Lord, Brother Bram said, Jesus said, he said once, that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God or understand it. And in other words, you can't discern the kingdom of God until you're born again. And from his sermon, Calling of Abraham, Brother Bram said, Jesus said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. See what the right translation of that is. He cannot understand the kingdom of God. Somebody be doing something, showing you, and you say, I just can't see it. You're looking right at it, but you don't understand it. And you'll never know what the kingdom of God is until you're born again, and then you'll understand what it is. In fact, God said in Isaiah 55, verse 6, he said, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And the Apostle Paul told us that the only way that you will understand the thoughts of God is that you have to have the Spirit of God in you. And that's the new birth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, he says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. So they haven't seen it. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Therefore, if you do not have his Spirit in you, how are you going to have those things revealed to you? He goes on to say, for the Spirit, now, not a Spirit, but the Spirit, that's God's Spirit, searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, except the spirit of man be in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God knoweth. So what Paul is saying here is that the only way that you're going to understand the things of God is if you have the Spirit of God in you. You can't understand it as just a man. You've got to have God's life in you to understand the things of God. Now, we have not received, he said, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. And if it is of God, then it had its source in God. Then it is a part of God's own Spirit or his own life that he's talking about. And we have that in order, he goes on, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So why does God give you a Spirit? So that you can know him. You can know and understand him. You see? Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can we know them, or neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So the natural man, not having the Spirit, he cannot understand the things of God, because why? They're spiritually discerned. They're spiritually understood. Why? Because God reveals them to you. You see? In other words, it takes the Spirit of God in you to discern the things of God. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And the same apostle said, let the mind that was in Christ be in you. So it is possible to have the mind of God. But as we've seen so far, you cannot have it without having his Spirit, his life, in you. And Jesus said that this Spirit is the Word of God. His Spirit is the Word of God. In John 6:63, he said, my words are spirit and they're life. You see. So you see here, unless you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you will never understand this message, no matter how plainly the prophet of God says it. And certainly the word of prophecy is of no private interpretation, because if it did not come by man, then man has no right to interpret it. But that doesn't mean that there is no right interpretation to it. And neither does it mean that no man will be able to understand it and explain it. That is totally ludicrous to even think such things as that. What Peter is saying here is that if God said it, then God is obligated to interpret it by bringing it to pass. That's what he meant when he said we have a more sure word of prophecy because we have actually seen the fulfillment of it. And that is what the Alpha and Omega principle is all about. What God did in the Alpha, he must do in the Omega. He changes not. So if he has already gave us the interpretation in the Alpha, then he doesn't have to interpret it again in the Omega if he does the same thing. Otherwise, people would be like dumb-driven cattle, and it would be impossible to teach anything. Because how are you going to learn if the same thing that was done once and is done again is different from it was, you know, if the interpretation in the Alpha is different from the interpretation in the Omega when the very same thing is done? You go nuts. We're not a bunch of dumb cattle that, you know, like the old expression says, dog bite me once, shame on dog. But dog bite me twice, shame on me. We're creatures that can learn. And if we can see it happening in the Alpha, and we see it today happening in the Omega, now we've got a tag for it. Because in the Alpha, Paul called it false brethren. In the Omega, he calls it false brethren. You see? There's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit here, outpouring of the Holy Spirit here. God was manifested in the veil of a flesh of a man, Jesus. He was manifested in this hour to us, in the veil of a man, manifesting himself to the world. You see, there was a message, there was an exodus, in this hour. So we have the tag, we have the identification by being able to read our Bibles. Animals can't read. Oh, you can train a chimpanzee to maybe recognize a few letters. That doesn't mean he can read. So for God to do something in the Alpha and then repeat it in the Omega, I do not need to wait for some great person to tell me the interpretation if I have any Spirit of God in me. I do not even need a prophet to come along and say this is what it is if God has already manifested that it is what it is. Look, Brother Branham didn't come and say, look, I'm the prophet of Malachi 4. Did he say that? No, he didn't say that. But all we got to do is read what the prophet of Malachi 4 is supposed to come and do, and we can see what he came and did, and we can say, ah, that is that. Now, is that a private interpretation? Of course not. It's right there in the Word, and God manifested that interpretation to us. That's what I'm trying to say. From his audio letter to Brother Vail, Brother Branham said, would it be, you think, advisable in here to say that God, in order to proclaim this, has to send a prophet in order to inject this, to make this real again, to show the people the hour that we're living in? Because if they only see it in the hour past, then there's no hope for the church. But the church must see it in the present tense. So God sends his prophet to manifest present tense of it. You see, and then after it's over, then it's history. Now, if God did a certain thing a certain way in the first church age, and the same thing transpires again in this age, then by knowing what took place in the first age, I can know what is taking place in the last age. Is that a private interpretation? I do not need for Brother Brown to tell me that he is the end time prophet of Malachi 4. In fact, he never comes right out and says it. But I believe he was, because I see the scripture, I see what the man... what it says that the man will do. And then when I see what he did, if you have any Spirit of God in you, you cannot help but to know that he was that prophet. Now the problem that we have today is that most people do not know what really took place in the first age. They don't even know there was a first age. Because they look at it as history, a history book, instead of a living word. And that is because they've been taught wrong to begin with. But if a person sits under the prophet for that age, and if he cannot teach what that prophet taught after having sat at his feet for many years, then there's something wrong with that man. He doesn't have the same spirit the prophet had. Now, if you have the same spirit in you that was in the prophet, you should be able to say the same things. You should be able to know what that word is. But to some, they think that they should only listen to tapes because then we can be sure that we got it right to begin with. That's their idea. But let me tell you something. Those that only listen to the tapes are the ones who have it all wrong. They claim to believe all that Brother Branham said, but by their actions they show that they don't even understand what he said, much less believe what he said, because he said you should be in church on Sunday. You see? And they don't go to church. They got the tapes. He says you should get those televisions out of your house, and almost every one of those tape listeners have televisions in their homes. And how can you believe it? How can they believe it if they don't understand what he's saying? How can they claim to believe? Brother Branham said, you say I believe everything you say, Brother Branham. He said, well, that just means you can read. Well, that's good. We can read. Of course, he said, say what's on the tapes. Say only what's on the tapes. And that's no different what the Apostle Paul said. If any angel or any man preach any other thing than I'm teaching or you've already been taught, let him be accursed. It's no different. Now, Paul was not saying, throw out the Gospels. I didn't say them. Throw out John's and Peter's epistles and James. I didn't say them. You see how ludicrous it is for someone to say, well, we can only say what Brother Branham said. Oh, yeah? You can only say it. You can only quote it. You can only repeat it. Then you don't know your Bible. Because that's not what Paul said. He said, if you preach any other gospel than what I preached. And the word other is the Greek word heteros. If you preach a gospel of a different nature than what I'm saying, let him be accursed. Now look, you all know that to translate the message, and brother, coming from Tanzania, you know this better than anyone. To translate English to Swahili, you can't have a word-for-word comparison. So if I've got a word in English, it might take 10 words in Swahili to say the same thing. Or if I've got 10 words in English, it might only take one word in Swahili to say the same thing. Now, are you saying the same thing? Absolutely. Are you saying the same words? No. But you're saying the same thing. And Brother Branham says, say what's on the tapes. He's not saying say the same words and quote them just exactly the same words. He's saying, say the same thing. It's the same doctrine, you see. And that's what Paul said. If any man comes along and preaches a doctrine which is different, which is heteros, which is of a different nature than what I'm preaching, he said, let him be accursed. I don't care, he says, if it's an angel or a man. Whoever it is, if he's preaching it, if he's teaching it different. Paul didn't come up and say, well, now, see, say only what I say, so, you know, forget about what Peter says. Forget about what John says. Forget about what James says. No, they said the same thing as Paul. They just used their own words to say it. And so you can take your own words and break it down and say it as long as it has the same meaning. As long as you're saying the same thing. Amen. But men can be of such a nature that they are scared stiff to preach the word, and so they will only play the tapes of Brother Branham, and yet they themselves have no clue as to what he taught. And in fact, in many instances, they outright deny the doctrine that he taught, all the while claiming to believe everything that he said. Now, if that isn't an oxymoron, I don't know what is. Men who claim to believe this Bible from cover to cover and teaching a oneness message. Men who claim to believe this Bible from cover to cover and teaching a Trinity. When Jesus said his Father is greater than him? Look, the fundamentalist really believes with all his heart that he believes every jot and every tittle of this Bible. But he doesn't. He might say that he does, but by his understanding, he proves that he doesn't. By his actions, he proves that he doesn't. The Baptist says, I believe in the eternal security of God. So he lives any old way he wants to, dresses any old way he wants to. Brother Brown said, just because you say it so doesn't make it so. Many people claim to believe Brother Branham, but I can tell you by their lives they prove that they do not believe it because they do not even understand it. And it shows in their lives. I've seen men who take advantage of other men and yet claim to believe the truth. Claim to believe the supreme judges here and yet destroy a brother's reputation. kill a man's influence by smearing his name and making up lies against the brother and claim to do it in Jesus' name. Isn't that what they did to Jesus? They thought that they were standing with what Moses had taught. We've got Moses, we don't need you. And yet he's the very one Moses pointed the people to. But yet they killed him because he did not come the way that they thought he was supposed to come. Now look, those Pharisees knew the written word better than any preacher today. They were so well trained that they could take a pin and take that scroll. You know, the Bible was in a scroll back then. They had scrolls. They could take a pin and shove it through a letter, and they could tell you each letter it passed through as it passed through the scroll. Every single letter. I challenge any of you, take your Bible, open it up to any page, stick a pin on one of the letters and tell me what's on the back side, what letter it went through, and on the next page, and the next page. You couldn't even do two pages, I'll guarantee it, unless you shoved it through and then opened up the page to see which holes it made in what letters. These men were trained to know the word so well, they knew every place of every letter. And yet they missed it a million miles when Jesus came. Because they had their minds made up. And that's what Peter's saying. Don't let your mind be made up. Listen to learn. And that's why you don't find me preaching on the tent vision. Because it wasn't my vision. It's of no private interpretation. It was given to Brother Branham, and it will come about just as he said it would. But not the way that many men are saying it will. And the same thing about that powerful woman that will come out of the United States. So we need to stop speculating and just sit back and watch and be open to whatever fulfillment that God will provide for his own word. Because Brother Branham said it could be the Catholic Church. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you for your word. We ask, Father, that you'd help us to just sit back and to relax and just feed the Spirit that is in us, your Spirit, that we might feed your Spirit, your own word, that it might grow within us. Help us, Father, to just let go and let God. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, he said, take no thought for tomorrow shall take thought for itself. We worry too much about tomorrow. Enjoy the day. God bless you. Rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet song in your ear. I love you, Lord, and I my voice to worship you, O my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Amen. See you Wednesday night.